Thank the Lord this morning. Thank the Lord for the song. I was impressed with that song, and I asked the Solis to learn it and sing it this morning. And I feel like that I am too near my heavenly home to turn back now. There's nothing to go back to. This morning we have a third message in a series of the great day of the Lord. I've trusted that everyone is getting a hold of the burden. I mentioned to someone that there was one thing that it seemed that the congregation was stone silent during these messages. It is a serious thing. It's very serious for us to have serious thoughts of the coming of the Lord. So the first message was on the three parables that Jesus gave concerning his return. The second message was on the sights and the sounds of the last great day. And the title for this morning is, As You See the Day Approaching. So I'm trusting that we all have a vision as we see the day approaching. There are many scriptures throughout the whole Bible, the New Testament and the Old, that give explicit descriptions of the last great day. In some places it is called a dark day. In other places it is called the great day of his wrath. And then in some places, it just simply says it is the last great day. I'm going to start reading a scripture in Zephaniah, and I want to explain that this is prophecy of judgments upon Judah for the different diverse sins that they have committed. So throughout the word of the Lord, there were judgments that were pronounced upon the people of God, upon nations that forsook God. There were judgments, and those were called also the great day of the Lord. But many of the adjectives that are used to describe those places of judgment also can be applied to the last great day. So in Zephaniah, the first chapter, I'm going to be reading 14 through part of 16. And it says, The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Now, don't you know that when something is repeated a second time, it is to get the attention of the one that is hearing it? I believe that we could say it for today. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Yes. That's to get our attention. And it is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. Verse 15. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 16, a day of the trumpet and alarm. Now again, this was prophecy concerning Judah and the fact that they had departed and went into sin. But we can take these same words and apply it to the great day of the Lord that is different. There's never been a day like it. There will only be one last great day. Down through the ages of time, the day of the Lord has come every day for individuals. There have been individuals who have met their end. The end of time came. And they went out to meet God, and they were judged for the deeds that were done in the body, but the rest of us kept on living because time has not come to an end. So there have been the day of the Lord every day for individuals. I look at this and I examine the mercy of the Lord. When the Lord began to cry out to bring judgment, He preceded it with mercy. The children of Israel, Judah, in fact, with this particular passage, there was a time of mercy. Sometimes God waited a long time, but during that time of mercy, He sent His warnings. He tried to get them to turn back before the day of the Lord. You and I are in a time of mercy right now. Time is being extended. No one knows the day or the hour. The scripture says tells us only God knows, not even Christ, not the angels of heaven. There is no one that knows the day of the Lord. So you and I are in a time of great mercy. Mercy has not run out yet. Now the day of the great day of the Lord, when that time comes, that time will be no more, time, mercy will have run out. It will be over. There will be no opportunities to pray. We must do our praying before that moment. Before that day, we must be ready before that day, because when mercy runs out, then judgment and wrath are the result. Now, we know from the messages we've already heard, when He gave the parables, there were five that were wise and five that were foolish. Something happened to the foolish. They allowed the oil to leak out. They thought they were ready, but they were not ready. We know the parable of the sheep and the goats, that God was the divider. God set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left hand. The parable of the tares and the wheat, He simply said they're to grow together. We made mention that that was the most dangerous of all of the parables, because that's where we are today. There will be those sitting right among the pews and will not be wheat. And we are not to tear up the tares, because it will affect the wheat. So those were the parables. So we're coming down to the separation day. The great day of the Lord is when God will separate the wise from the foolish, the sheep from the goats. He will separate the tares from the wheat. It's a separation day. It's a serious day, because you and I will have opportunity during the time of mercy, but mercy will run out. God has always given space to make known what He plans to do. We may not know when. Judah did not know when the day of the Lord would come, but they knew it was coming. And he gave them explicit detail as to what would happen on that day. Just as you and I do not know the day, we are not ignorant. According to the word of the Lord, and let me tell you, there is no way it can all be given to you today. When we end the message today, we're going to give you a few scripture to go home and study yourself. Keep it in your mind. The day of the Lord is coming. And we need to be ready and we need to be aware. And we need to be looking for it. Thank the Lord. So again, this is the time of mercy. And this is just as the prophet, I want to insert this, as the prophets during Judah's time sent out the warnings and gave this scripture right here that we read, so is it today. Now, it may not be a popular message. It is not popular. And in the past years, there have been an occasional message of the coming of the Lord. I myself have preached on the coming of the Lord various times, but not often. This is the first time the Lord has ever given me a series of messages on this subject. I believe that the Lord is coming soon. How soon is, I don't know. Time to you and me doesn't mean the same as it does to Christ or God. But we can be assured that it will happen. It is coming. And we are in a time to prepare for it. And he's telling us some things for us to look for that we can be ready. So mercy will run out and time will be no more. And God will have been faithful. He is being faithful. He will be faithful to the day of the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now, what are some of the signs of the great day of the Lord? For that's our title now. As ye see the day approaching, what do we see? That's what we want to work with today, that God wants you and me to be aware, looking for it, hastening unto it. So Jesus gave us a number of parables. And from the 16th chapter of Matthew, I'm just going to paraphrase that part. He gave this. He spoke of the weather. And he said this to the Pharisees. They were actually asking for a sign of something. Now, I believe that God wants us to be honest in the reason why we're asking for a sign. I don't believe he turns us away if we come to the Lord and say, Lord, show me something about this or that. I don't believe God is that way. Yet, if we're doing it out of a wrong motive, he's not pleased. If we're trying to show something up that will refute what the Bible says or justify something in myself, God's not going to deal with you and me that way. But he's pleased for us to be interested and to know more of his word and what it means. And so in this particular passage, Jesus is telling them, you can look at the sky and you can, in the evening, you can discern what the weather is. Now, I don't know how many of us are really that observant of the sky in the evening and say it's going to be this way tomorrow. I'm not that observant, but these folks were. They had a way of looking and judging by the sky and be able to say or discern what the weather was going to be. But this is what he said. But can ye not discern the signs of the times? I believe the Lord wants us to discern the signs of our age and our time. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 24, verses 36 through 39. We're going to look at Luke 17, 28 through 30. And this is going to be what Jesus said would be the conditions of the world at his second coming. Matthew 24, we're going to start at verse 36. And it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now verse 37. But as the days of Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'd like for us to look over in Genesis now. The sixth chapter, verse 5, gives us one little verse that describes the times of Noah. It said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can we relate? Do we know enough of our society or of the conditions of the world to say, yeah, it's just like that? You don't have to read a paper very far until you know it's true. You don't listen to the news for 5 minutes and not understand that we're in the time of Noah. That men's hearts are evil continually. Their thoughts, their imaginations. I believe we have come up under this. We mustn't be as a frog in a pot of water that is set on a stove and just little by little it gets warm. The frog stays there, doesn't realize the danger. It gets hotter and he stays there. And pretty soon it boils and he's dead. I believe the Lord is saying, don't get so accustomed to the age that we're living in that you forget what it represents. This is what it means. You look at it and take note. And you say, wait a minute. Look how it was in the days of Noah. Is it not that way today? We might even say it is worse today than in the days of Noah. And yet there will be people who know history and they will begin to say, oh, it was many times worse in this part of history than it is today. I will tell you why it is worse today than it was then. It's because our population has increased to the number that it has. It makes more wickedness. It is gross wickedness in the eyes of the Lord. And he's looking down and he sees the wickedness of the whole world. And we're in that time. So don't be like the frog and just think. People are thinking right now that time will never end. There are people that don't believe the scripture that Jesus is coming back again. If they do believe it, they believe it as a millennial reign. That he's coming back and he will go to Jerusalem and he will set up his kingdom and sit on his throne for 1,000 years. And that those that were ready will go on, and those that weren't ready, they have to stay here and suffer persecution and violent things and try for a second time. That's the danger of that philosophy. They don't believe in the coming of the Lord is one day to be the last day and never another opportunity. They think, if I miss it the first time, I'll have a second chance. Don't be duped with false teachings. Believe the word of God and take it at his word. So that is the days of Noah. Now let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. These are all familiar to us this morning. We just need to be reminded. We're going to look at 28 through 30. And it starts out, it is already repeated in this passage about Noah, but it says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, where was Lot? Well, we know that Lot was Abraham's nephew, and that Abraham and Lot were together. They were prosperous men. They had many sheep and cattle. They had many herdsmen. And they came to a place that they couldn't get along. The herdsmen. And so Abraham said, we'll divide now. You can take your flocks and your herdsmen and I'll let you choose the direction you want to go. I'll take the other direction. Because we be brethren, we're not going to argue. So that took place. Sodom and Gomorrah was already there. And the scripture says that Lot turned and looked toward Sodom. Took his family. Took all that he had and headed down to Sodom. Partly because it was a rich field. But he ended up losing everything. Sodom was not a place to raise a family. I want to tell you, this world is almost like that now. It's almost, if not already. It is not a place for our children to come up and be ignorant. You must teach your children what this all means, because it's the setting of just before the Lord comes. So Lot was here. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, it said that they did the same thing that they did in the days of Noah. What's wrong with eating and drinking and getting married and having homes and having children? There's nothing wrong. It's life. And that's what it's trying to say. They were living life, just like you and I. We're all going to leave here today and probably go sit down and have lunch. And we're all going to maybe have an enjoyable glass of something to drink. Not illegal. And we already know there's been a wedding recently, and there's going to be some more weddings planned. It's life. He's saying you're living life, but what are you doing in the midst of life? Are you thinking? Are you aware that there's some signs all around us that are saying there's coming a day, and it's the day of the Lord? And so it was in the time of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. All of that has to do with life. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Okay, let's go over to Genesis 13:13. We're going to look at that verse. We're going to look at Genesis 18 and 20 and 21 and get a picture of what it was like in Sodom. And I want you to take the time and read some of these passages that are more detailed about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction. Do it in your private worship. Teach your children what it means. In 13 and 13 of Genesis, it says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I believe we're in that time. Chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. And the Lord said, we need to take note when it says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Well, you might look at that and say, well, I thought God knew everything. And I believe he does know everything. I believe he's the judge of our time. He was the judge of the time there, but he was not a hasty God. And he is not a hasty God today. He is waiting for the right time, giving people an opportunity to turn from their wickedness. And I believe that he sent the angels not only to check it out, but to recover those that should not be destroyed. And when the angels went to Sodom, the wickedness was so great, the angels would have been defiled also. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was two cities, not far from each other. The spirit of those cities were contagious. You believe that? Yes. You believe that these kind of spirits today can be contagious? Oh, it won't be like catching measles. But I want to tell you, the spirit can affect and influence you and me if we are not living very carefully before the Lord. Amen. If you study it, Lot even stepped out when they were crying for the two angels. And they literally, the angels had to open the door and pull him back in for him not to be defiled. You believe that? God is able to keep you and me in a defiled society. But it's going to take you running for your life. It's going to take you fighting for your soul. It's going to take reading and praying and seeking God for power. He has the power, but you have to seek for it. So this was the conditions of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, as it was in that time, that's one of the signs that it will be when I come back. Now, it's just been a number of years ago as this spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah began to come to light. The people that were affected by that spirit had been what they called in a closet. They were hiding that part of their life. But as time went on, they began to come out of the closet. You remember those terms? You don't hardly hear that anymore. That was the beginning, the opening of it. And all of the saints, as we began to hear these things and see the signs of the time, we thought the Lord was going to come then. Didn't you? We thought this is the sign of the Lord. But it got worse. It has gotten beyond what we could even believe would ever happen in our lifetime. The laws of our land are changing, have changed, not changing. They've already changed. States by state are changing laws. And that's the sign of the Lord's coming. It speaks of that in Daniel. So these are the two distinctive signs of the day approaching that I'm going to leave. There's many more. But I want to go to Daniel now, the 12th chapter and verse 4, because there's something in Daniel that is just a little bit different. And I want us to allow it to go with us and understand that we don't really know everything up to the day of the Lord. He's given us enough. There's other things in the New Testament that Jesus said that should make us aware. But this is what happened. Daniel 12 and verse 4. Well, let's read some verses above it. Let's read starting verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, and even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be written, be found written in the book. Now, some people will take this and say, oh, that was written for Daniel's time. That was written for a different age. But I want to tell you, the key right there has to do with the Lamb's Book of Life. You and I must be enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life to be counted one of the faithful. We know that the Lord has a book and that He is keeping record. He's keeping record of our lives. Oh, some people don't like to hear that at all. The scripture says He's a discerner of our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. It's a close place, and He wants us to feel so serious about it. I'm not wanting anyone here to get out of balance. I believe there's a balanced way. But I want to tell you, we've got to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you hope to make it. Because everyone who does not have their name there will not make it. So this is a little portion that might have a dual meaning. But there's something here that we need to really understand. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now that's still speaking about the end of time. We had it in our message last Sunday that when the Lord comes, those that are in the graves will rise first. We won't prevent them or hinder them. They'll rise first. Those that have slept in the dust, this says, they're going to come forth. Some to everlasting life, some that are lost to everlasting shame. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Be wise. Be one of the wise. Let your oil in your vessels be full. Okay? Now look at verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the books even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Have you ever seen a time in your lifetime that knowledge has increased to the degree that it has today? Partly because of the access of the internet, you can almost look up anything you want to gain more knowledge. It's so available. You no longer have to go and get an encyclopedia and turn and read. It's all available now. Knowledge is into the greatest degree of all of history. Do you believe that? I believe it. But that's not the part I'm wanting to emphasize. There was something that Daniel was given. He was shown one more thing. And the Lord commanded him, don't tell it. Stop your words right here. Shut it up. Seal the book. Why do you suppose that is? I believe that there is going to be something that you and I will not know about that could have identified even closer the day of the Lord. But it was not God's will for you and me to know it that close. Because even Jesus doesn't know the day, nor the angels. And I don't believe he wanted you and me to know something that Jesus didn't know. But it puts a seriousness in my heart and in my mind, because there could be something else that you and I will maybe pass through that we don't know how to identify it yet. And it may be just before the day of the Lord. Those are my thoughts. I don't have a scripture. They're just my thoughts. Okay, we'll go on. Time is slipping away. I want to go back now to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, where the beginning thought comes from, and it's verse 25, and we're going to switch just a little bit in our thoughts this morning. It speaks about this phrase, as ye see the day approaching, and it starts out and it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. This is a warning now. It's saying, don't do this as you see the day approaching. So it's important for us to stir ourselves. It's a great hindrance of the enemy to hinder you and me from being in service. And we have some other scriptures to prove it. It's coming to the coming of the Lord. Do you see it? Do you see that there's signs that is saying it could be soon? You are going to have to guard your sacrifice. You're going to have to guard your soul more than ever before. The enemy has every snare, every trap, things that are legal, things that are illegal, things that aren't sinful, that he wants to hinder us, you and me, from the coming of the Lord. Remember, the 10 virgins were all saved. They were all seemingly walking in the light. Something happened. Don't let it happen to you. And one of the things is guard that time. Be in service. Put your heart into it. Come with something to share with others, because the next part of this verse says, exhorting one another. What does that mean? We need to be an encouragement to one another. We need to be able to have a testimony that is on fire. I want to tell you, that's one of the things the enemy is trying to hinder, is to put a weariness on us, we're going on because it'll be in the next scripture. But it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. And exhort one another. Be an encouragement to each other. Encourage your brother and your sister. Pray for one another that everyone will make it to heaven. We said in the message last Sunday that we didn't want these things to be a crush. We didn't want these things to be negative. We wanted these things to inspire us to pray more for our own soul and more for the souls of our loved ones, and have a vision of what it will mean to be lost for all eternity. That's what we want. So let's go now to the next scripture. Luke, the 21st chapter. I'm going to read verses 34 through 36. These are Jesus' words. And he said, take heed to yourself. Now it says yourselves because it's speaking plural. But I want this to be personal to us. This word that says take heed, pay close attention. Give careful consideration. So pay close attention to yourself. Watch your own life. Keep your finger on the pulse, not literally, but the pulse of your soul. Are you lukewarm? Are you hot? Are you cold? Jesus said, he said, I'd rather you be one or the other, hot or cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. This conditions of our time is real easy to get lukewarm. And Jesus said, his word said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Let it take heed. Be careful to yourself. And then it says, let's see, where am I at now? 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, and you could put just about anything in here that could overcharge your soul. They have surfeiting, drunkenness. Well, we can be drunk on a lot of things besides liquor. You can be drunk on things. You can overextend yourself in a lot of things of life. But it also said, and just the cares of life. Oh, we're everyone affected by the cares of life. We're there. You know, we have more conveniences than we've ever had before. We have dishwashers, we have ovens, we have microwaves, we have, what's that kind of pot? Instapot that cooks really fast. We have, you name it. We have so many conveniences that if our forefathers came back, they wouldn't even hardly comprehend it. And yet we don't have enough time. Things are eating up our time every day. That's the cares of life. And God knows that everyone has to have a job and every wife needs to keep her house up. All of these things are necessary. But I want to tell you, we need to watch. Because that day can come upon us. And it said, for the reason, so that that day come upon you unawares. Something can distract you. And that day can come upon us before we even know it. If we haven't been looking at the signs of the time, and we haven't been saying, oh Lord, where is this going? Help me to be ready. I see the signs of your coming. And then verse 35, it said, and as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the earth. That's you and me. But it's for everyone on the whole face of the earth, in every country, in every culture. There is something that will distract them to the coming of the Lord. And the exhortation there is watch and pray. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be worthy to stand before you in the last great day. He will help you. He will help you to be ready. Thank the Lord. So those are the warnings that we want to give, that we not be so accustomed and conditioned to the conditions of our world, and it be just before Jesus comes. I read this statement somewhere. It said, we must not fall prey to apathy as in Noah's day. So don't overlook these few signs before his coming. And there's many more, I said. Be discerning. Search the scriptures. And if you want to write these down, these are some that I'm going to give you to search out. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Much of Matthew 24, but we must have a discernment to divide that book, that chapter. The book of Peter. So those are the thoughts. Now, I sent on our Oklahoma City songs, the song that Lauren and I sang the first message, and it may become sort of a little theme song during these series of messages. I know there's one more message besides today. Could be more. So if you look in your phones now, I would like for us all to start learning that song. The name of the song is Just Any Day Now. And I want us to take that song home. I want us to, as you're working on the job, think about just any day now, the Lord is coming. Pray for me.